Thanks for tuning in. The following audio is from Redemption Church, located in the heart of San Francisco, California. We are a multi-ethnic, intergenerational church that exists to make disciples. For more information, visit www.redemptionsf.com.
Listen, we're back in the Ten Commandments, and we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath this week. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. You can thumb there in your devices, highlight it, take notes if you so choose. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Listen to the word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock even, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is God's word. Amen, church? Amen. I want us to spend our time together under this theme this morning, rest for weary workers. Rest for weary workers. Several years ago, I went on my very first visit to the Google campus here in San Francisco. There was a guy in church, and he was just like, bro, you ought to come and hang out with me, have lunch with me. And I'm like, you know, cool. You know, I'm going to hang. And I didn't know what I was in store for, y'all. I had no clue. And so I step onto the campus, get registered in and all of that stuff. And he's just kind of glancing at me, waiting for my response as we kind of walk through the campus. And listen, this is a guy that's not just a normal worker. He's just not a normal Google employee. This guy is an expert on the perks. And he knows where every nook and cranny is. He knows where every hidden poker room is. It really exists. I saw it with my own eyes. Every bar on the campus, every massaging chair that he has estimated that cost to the tune of $5,000 that sits on every single floor. So as we're walking through, listen, y'all, there's a fresh smoothie booth where you can just enjoy fresh smoothies. The snacks are endless. And I'm just a snack guy. And so, you know, once he freed me the first time, you're like, man, you literally can have whatever you want. And I'm like, whatever I want? You can have whatever you like. No, listen. So he's navigating us through, and he's pointing out we walk into the arcade room, and people are there while on the clock just hammering away at Pac-Man. I'm like, this is work? I'm in the wrong career. He takes us into the movie theater. He takes us to the place where, listen, you can enjoy some yoga during the workday. He takes us to the meditation room that is different than the yoga room. He takes us by the salon where you can get your hair trimmed. True story. He takes us where there is an entire fitness gym where you can just, on your lunch break, get your workout in, break a quick sweat, lose a few calories, the ones from the snacks that you've enjoyed, and then you can go back to your desk. There are outdoor spaces, y'all, that give you beautiful views of the bridge. There are indoor spaces where the natural light is just pouring in, where you can just plop down with your laptop and enjoy time. There's a fully stocked bar for happy hour when they so choose. I'm like, what kind of place is this? Is this real? And he's like, man, listen, this is real. This guy got 6 months paternity leave. Paternity. Exactly. He didn't, not one contraction. 6 months. Listen. And so as we're walking through, he surely is. We go to the cafeteria. He's an expert, y'all. And he shows me where all the secret things are. We sit down. He points out the chef and nods to this. He knows the chef. And we sit down and we enjoy lunch. And I am just mesmerized. But my wheels are turning. Like, are they creating this kind of environment because, you know, the top shelf employees that work for Google simply deserve it? Are they creating this kind of environment because they just want you to be extremely comfortable when you come in? Or could it be that they're creating this kind of environment because they don't want you to leave? They want you to enjoy as much time as humanly possible. They don't want it to feel like work. They want to create this comfortable kind of environment. You know what? It's not really work. It's sitting on a rooftop enjoying views with your laptop. It's not really work. I mean, you got endless snacks, and is it really work when you can just grab a smoothie or a San Francisco brewed beer and sit down and just hang out? Just answering a few emails. Is that really work? I would imagine that there's this bigger scheme at play. See, the fourth commandment reminds us that each of us needs rest. That there is something deep in our souls that longs for rest. It is in us, and it's interesting because you would think when we say in a setting like this that there's something in us that is longing for rest, and these work communities and these corporate circles are kind of competing for your time, you would think what we're doing is demonizing work, and that's not what we're doing. Because would you know that work was existing pre the fall of humanity? Like before Adam and Eve rebelled against God and kind of turned their backs on God and sin entered the world, work existed. If you imagine the scriptures, there's this very small portion at the beginning of the story that is perfect fellowship with God. And this very end of the story, this small picture that is perfect fellowship with God. And in between, humanity is trying to figure it out. But in this small portion, work existed. It was there because Adam was given this call and this work to do, to create and to cultivate. Work existed pre the fall of humanity. So tells us that it's not work that's inherently wrong. But can we admit that in the Bay Area, so often we live for our work? We often live to produce. It was Elon Musk that once tweeted this. There are way easier places to work than Tesla, but nobody ever changed the world on 40 hours a week. Can you? Elon wouldn't say that, right? Can you imagine that this is deep in our culture? This idea that nothing world-changing or life-altering can be accomplished in 40 hours a week. So many of us, if we wouldn't say it with our mouths, we live it with our lives. That work is who we are and not simply what we do. That's often the sentiment, that we can worship at the altar of our work because in doing so, will change the world, right? Because it's connected to mission. If I work 60 hours a week, then I will accomplish greatness. And the fourth commandment comes crashing in into the Bay Area to turn this sentiment on its head to remind us that many of us are longing for something much more deeper, and it's rest for our souls. We need it. We're hungry for it. I want you to know this morning that you are more than a resource to be expended, that you are created in the image of God, that you are more, listen to me, that you are more than your productivity, that God has fashioned you and he has said you are beautiful. He has created you. He knows the hairs numbered on your head, even if they are few. A few years ago, a woman named Erin Griffith wrote about workaholism in the New York Times, and she happens to live in San Francisco. Listen to this. In San Francisco, where I live, I've noticed that the concept of productivity has taken on an almost spiritual dimension. Techies here have internalized the idea, rooted in the Protestant work ethic, that work is not something you do to get what you want. The work itself is all. Therefore, any life hack or company perk that optimizes their day, allowing them to fit in even more work, is not just desirable, but inherently good. And many of us are in this trap, this rat race of work and production, and we don't even know it, and yet we wonder why we're so weary. Why our souls are so disrupted. Here's what Aaron is saying. We have a problem with work. Our culture has a problem with work. The Bay Area has a problem with work. And even, isn't it just like us to take something that God has created as beautiful, to distort it, and to make what's beautiful and a good thing the ultimate thing? Work. It's what God has created and fashioned. You know what's interesting? Because it's interesting because the Ten Commandments really arrive on the heels of Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. It's extremely helpful in understanding this context. Look at this with me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 says it this way: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Don't miss that. The nation of Israel endured slavery for some 400 years. I mean, imagine this, generation after generation after generation, locked and loaded in slavery. Work is not something they did. They were their work. I mean, the idea there was you work or you die. Hear me, there was no PTO. There is no sick time. There is no paternity leave or maternity leave. There is no vacation. There is none of that. And can you imagine after generation and generation of being forced laborers, workers in the field, can you imagine what it's like to hear, keep the Sabbath holy? Can you imagine the stress and the tension? And here's the thing. Oftentimes, the Western church can kind of end on different sides of the spectrum when it comes to the fourth commandment. Oftentimes, we can kind of end on the side of legalism that says, if you don't obey the commandment to keep the Sabbath, you don't know God. You're far from God. And yet on the other side, what typically happens is what we do is we just simply ignore the Sabbath. And yet this is the fourth commandment is an invitation in. It's not an invitation into rules. It's an invitation into rest. It is an invitation in living the fullness of life that God has actually intended, even though work is a good thing. Work is God ordained and God created, and yet it is not the ultimate thing. He has showed up, given us this idea of Sabbath rest. Listen, I want you to know that the fourth commandment comes because, listen to this, the Sabbath rest is necessary. It is. Sabbath rest is necessary. Verse 8 says it this way, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath rest is necessary because it is holy, which means it is set apart by God. This is not something that is optional. It is necessary. In fact, oftentimes our bodies will let us know when we're violating the Sabbath. Our bodies will let us know when we don't have this rhythm of rest. Our bodies will let us know. It will induce more stress and worry. And oftentimes we'll be more inclined to things like heart attacks and high blood pressure. Our bodies will let us know. We will feel weary even. Our souls feel this. Oftentimes, when we don't take the Sabbath seriously, we can feel ourselves drifting from God. And oftentimes, you know, we're on one side or the other. We're legalistic about it, or we're ignoring it. And yet God says, remember the Sabbath is good for our souls. The Sabbath is a 24-hour slot. It is a 24-hour devotion in which you and I are pushing things away. It's 24 hours of pushing away our to-do list. It is 24 hours of pushing away the things that we have to or need to get done. It is 24 hours of entering into divine rest, God-ordained rest, because it is necessary for our souls. We get rid of the checklist. We're present with God and people. But secondly, Sabbath rest is really an offering to the Lord. Verse 9 says this way, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And the Bible tells us that all of life, that we are to be living sacrifices. So all of life is really an offering to the Lord. And yet the Sabbath is this regular rhythm. It is this intentional time that we are to make an offering to the Lord. It is this habitual time where we come, we put down the list, and we devote this time to the Lord. And hear it. It can look like a variety of things. It can look like fellowship. It can look like time with friends and family, putting away the cell phones and disarming ourselves and fighting to be present with one another. That is an offering to the Lord. It can look like going wine tasting and enjoying one another as an offering to the Lord. It can look like sitting down over a meal with friends and family and pushing away the list to devote that time to the Lord. It is a habitual offering to the Lord. And really, what we see is when we kind of carve out this time for the Sabbath, it is a reminder that every time you rest, you are saying, I'm limited, but God is infinite. I'm limited in my resources. I'm limited in my abilities, but God is infinite. It's similar to when we bring our children to be dedicated to the Lord. in a symbolic way and even in a physical way, we bring our children in before the congregation and even before God to say, God, we offer this child that you have entrusted to us back to you, that you have gifted us with this child, and we offer this child what they will become. God, we offer this child back to you. And here's what we're doing, even with Sabbath rest. We pause and we offer our calendars. We offer the things that we can accomplish. Hear it. We offer our productivity back to God. We give it to him and we set time away to pause, to reflect, to rest. We offer ourselves back to God. But thirdly, Sabbath rest is really imitating God. It is imitation of God. It is imitating God. Verse 11 says this, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Here's y'all remember the game, Follow the Leader, right? Y'all remember that game? Let's just play it real quick. Simon Says, here it is. Y'all remember the game, the general premise of the game. Simon Says, clap your hands. Simon Says, throw your hands up, wave them in the air like you just don't care. Put your hands down. No, Simon didn't say that. See, Simon said, everybody stand up. Simon said, everybody stand. Simon said, y'all, see, I'm about to have to. Simon says, everybody sit down. This is what it is to imitate and to follow. God said, here's the idea. I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested, and now the fourth commandment is an invitation for us to imitate our God, to be like him, and to walk like him, and to live like him, and to rest like him, and wouldn't you know that God doesn't need the rest, and yet he rested to give us a model to rest. To show us that we are not infinite, that we need a Savior to step in for us. I want to end really quickly this way. I want to give 5 truths on the Sabbath that I borrowed from Rich Viedas. 5 truths on the Sabbath. Let me give you this. The Sabbath is not a reward for hard work. The Sabbath is the grace of God. The Sabbath is not something you are doing because you have put 60 hours in. It is by grace. Do you know that Adam began his week? He began his existence in the garden with rest. The Sabbath is a gift of God, but the Sabbath is also a reminder that our work will remain incomplete. Listen, when you begin practicing the way of the Sabbath, when you begin living this out, you will find that there are always things left to do. There's always another email to send. There's always another text to send. There's always another thing to create or something to finish designing. There's always something left to do. And yet what we are reminded of in the Sabbath is that things are just incomplete. Now, someday, God will make all things right. And also, the Sabbath is the day that moves us from production to presence. I love this because here's this idea that in the Bay Area, we are good at producing. We are hired in to produce. We know how to produce. We know how to work for results, even if that means overtime and more overtime. We are good at producing, and sometimes we're not good at being present. We need an education on what it means to unplug and to just be present. And I will admit I'm the first that needs an edge. I'm the chief of sinners on this. My wife, babe, put your phone away. Okay. Just one more text. Babe, put your phone away. Let it go. Let it go. We need this. We need to learn what it looks like to move away from producing and to enter into presence. But the Sabbath reminds us that we're not God. We're not. It is this idea that if we were to vanish, the world will continue to go on. Listen, that company will continue to go on. And if you put in your resignation today or tomorrow, they will post your job and replace your behind. You are not God. And you don't have to act as if you are. You can be free to enter into divine rest that your soul desperately needs. That when you are depleted, Sabbath rest allows you to be present with God and others, and it's a habitual kind of thing. And lastly, the Sabbath points us to a deeper rest that we need. And it's in Jesus. Points us to this rest that our souls desperately need. And Jesus says, come, all who are weary. Come, all of you weary workers. Come, all of you who have been duped by your version of a fitness gym in the office. Come, all of you who have arcades in your office space. Come, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Come, weary. And I love it because the message of Christianity and the message of Jesus isn't that, well, as soon as I get my calendar in order, as soon as I get down to 40 hours, as soon as I can more manage my time, that's when I will get serious about God. No, Jesus says, come, all you weary workers. Come tired. Come exhausted. Come on fumes, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will exchange your exhaustion for rest. I'll give it to you. Kind of rest that is not found in what you do, but the kind of rest that's found in what Jesus has done. That some 2,000 years ago, Jesus offered us rest from Calvary's cross. Jesus shed his blood that you and I can have rest. Jesus said and proclaimed from the cross, it is finished, so that you and I could get out of the rat race of producing. That we can step out and step into the goodness of the Lord. How many need it? I need it. I need it today. I need rest for my soul. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the rest that only you can provide. The rest that is in the finished work of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you that for our weariness, for our exhaustion, for our overtime, you exchange your rest. So fill us up, oh God. Give us the strength to receive. And it's in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, church. Amen.